हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके पेज 11 Sorry? On the sutras delineate? Or taking these false?
Yeah.
Taking these false arguments, Vyasa in the Brahma Sutras explains that the Supreme Vishnu is independent, is the cause of all actions, is omniscient, and is the very form of knowledge and dharmas, such as the four human goals. The sutras delineate five essential. Now we're getting into the details of what is the subject matter. Right, so many poets, you'll see that they'll write all this into one verse, or sometimes a few verses. But we see many times also, the acharyas, they'll do a very long explanation. So the Anubandha Chatushtaya is actually quite long. So it's very exact. You know exactly what is the subject matter, exactly who's qualified, exactly who. So they'll get more into detail. So he's given it in a synopsis in the beginning, but then he'll expand upon that. Right? Does that make sense? So it's the same principle, just trying to make it clear, because for the Vaishnavas, it's about Siddhanta, it's not about scholarship. So that you could say all that in a very short time, that's good. But then the point is you want people to understand it and be able to apply it. Therefore, that's more important for the Vaishnavacharyas. So even though how they'll present it is very exact, but they'll do enough explanation so that people can understand. Right? The sutras delineate five essential elements: Ishwara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, and Karma. Among them, the Lord, Ishwara, is the principal conscious entity. The Jiva is the subordinate conscious entity. Both the Lord and the Jiva have eternal qualities like knowledge and have the sense of I. They are knowers arising from the sense of I, of knowledge. This is not contradictory for one who sees that light reveals itself as well as other subjects. Right? So if you can see the Lord and the living entity, you can understand that knowledge. That light will illuminate all other subjects. Because all other subjects are about the relationship between the living entity and the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? You know, you're dealing with something, you say, you take the medical science. What's the medical science for? It's for the health of the situation in which you relate to others. Does that make sense? So if you understand the soul, you understand the Lord, His position, how He controls everything, the Jiva, how they're both conscious, how they interact, right? Then you can understand actually the medical science. If you don't understand this, you don't really know very much. You may be very developed in technical points. As Prabhupada mentioned, the allopathic medical science is very developed, right? You know, compared to its origins. It's very developed. But the problem is they still don't understand the nature of the soul, and so they can't actually appreciate it. Right? They can do a few things really nicely, but more than that, then they have difficulties. Yes?
Actually, it means it is talking about sambandha first. Yeah?
Yes. Well, it means you can also say as kala is going to be time or action, and karma is going to be the results of that action. So you can take this also in the Upanishadic, what we were saying before. That you have the Lord, you have the living entity, you have the material nature, you have the process, and you have the results. Right? But when you're dealing in a general thing, kalas, time, how it works, how it affects, how things happen, then you're going to have the detail, how we apply it in our philosophy. Then there's going to be a result, but how that's understood and appreciated in our philosophy. So it's the same topic matter that Prabhupada says Bhagavad Gita is discussing. Right? Okay, footnote 13. Similarly, the self, knowing itself, reveals knowledge of other things. Okay. Does that make sense? Because if you understand who you are, you can understand your relationship with other things. You don't understand who you are, very hard to understand other things. Right? If you can't figure out who you are, how can you figure out what's the pot and what's the vegetables? Right? You know, because what goes where, what does what? If you can't understand yourself, how will you understand anything else? But the Lord is independent, possessing Shakti as His very nature. He supports the universe by entering it and regulating it, and bestows enjoyment and liberation to the jivas in the material world. Although He is one, He manifests many forms, and, though indivisible with no differentiation, is perceived by the wise as an object having qualities, differentiation. But there's no differentiation because it's all Him. But the wise can differentiate within aspects of Him or features of Himself as qualities. Right. So, although invisible, He is revealed by bhakti. Though self-existent, pleasure itself, He gives His form of knowledge and happiness to the devotees. Right. So all these seeming contradictions, because if you're everything, there's going to be some contradictions. Right? And you won't put two things that don't have anything to do with each other. You know? He's all pervading and He's a nice guy. You know? You understand? So you'll put the opposites together. Because that's where then the taste comes in. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's just like you're hungry and you lack food and then you spend your time with food. That works. Does that make sense? You could say, but it would be actually a better combination that you're hungry and thirsty and tired. You know? But no, these things match. So you're tired and then there's, you know, the bed. You know, so these opposites match. So for us, then we're seeing the duality sometimes nicely, sometimes not nicely. That's the problem. But when you see them all connected to Krishna, then there's no duality. Does that make sense? Yeah. The jivas, however, are many, in various conditions. They're in bondage because of being inimical to the Supreme Lord. When they become favorable to the Lord, they directly perceive the Lord's sarup and other components and destroy the two types of bondage, causing coverings, which hides the Lord's form and which hides His qualities. Right? So it hides His form, it hides His qualities. So when you know the Lord, then you know all the things. Just like when you know when the jiva knows himself, he can understand other subjects.
Right? Yes. Why is this separate? Bondage causing coverings hides the Lord's form and his qualities?
Because causing coverings, that the bondage then which you can't see the Lord's form and you can't see his qualities.
They come together, kind of?
Yes, but they're different things. Because the form is one thing and then his qualities is another. And then it's past tense. You have the name, form, qualities, like this. Okay. Prakriti is a state of equilibrium of the three gunas. It is also called tamas and maya. On receiving the glance of the Lord, Prakriti becomes capable of generating the variegated universe, right? So he's going through, one he says, talked about the Lord and everything like that. Now he's going through, we have these five topics. And now he's giving a definition of each of the five. So he talked about the Lord, talked about the jiva, right? And now he's talking about the material energy, right? So material energy has all these forms. As Prakriti, that means all the three modes are all together. They're balanced. So you don't see anything. Then it's here. What is it? Maya or tamas? is that when they come out and there's an imbalance and they come out, then there is going to be the problem. You're going to be in ignorance and you're going to be in illusion. Because you think the modes are doing everything. No, it's just dead matter. Right? So the dead matter is not doing anything. It's the Lord. Because of his influence, then the material energy is doing something. Right? Yes?
Are the Prakriti synonymous with Prajnan?
Yes. He was asking, is Prakriti and Pradhan the same? You can't say Prakriti is the whole thing, but you're going to have all these aspects. So when it's in balance, then, you know, he's saying here, is that Prakriti and Pradhan would be the same in this definition. Okay. On receiving the glance of the Lord, Prakriti becomes capable of generating the variegated universe. Right? So by his potency, then you get the variety. Spiritual world has the variety. And here, then, material energy can have that variety. Right? So, but that will come by the Lord's grace. So the Lord's behind it. Not that the material energy is acting independently. Right? So the Lord's independent. The jiva is not independent. The material energy is not independent. But because the Lord and the jiva are conscious, the jiva is in this way superior to the external energy. Right? Yes.
Can we say technically that Lord Brahma is in between the Lord and Prakriti as an engineer? He takes the potency from the Lord?
Yes, but he's acting on behalf of the Lord in this way. That's why he's a guna avatar.
Okay.
Okay.
And this way he's not kind of a jiva. In the jiva category, he would be in the...
No, he's jiva. Basically, Brahma is always the jiva.
The category.
No, but Brahma, in that case, you would say is you're representing the Lord in that he's the secondary creator of the universe. Right? So the Lord, by his glance, that's the primary creation. And then he even has to himself enter the primary creation to make it work. Right? Unless he enters as attraction, right? As prajumna, then the elements won't hold together. So all this is going on in all the variety, everything's being created within the primary. But then that has to be manifest. Because you have the principle of like, what is a tree? You know, or what is a cow? Right? So their whole nature, what they do, everything like that, what works for them, that's all created by the Lord. Then, Brahma, then he manifests it. So it's just a continuation of the Lord's potency. So he's just a jiva in that capacity, just like all the demigods, their capacity of like the arms of the Lord. They do the different activities. So,
is it more that Lord Shiva taking the position?
Yeah, I would say it's what you're talking about is Shiva's the one that's in between. Because he's not exactly Vishnu Tattva, but he's not Jiva Tattva. You know? He's not Vishnu Tattva, he's still Purusha.
So Brahma actually, he comes after Shiva.
Yes, because who's the glance? The Sarashiva. But in the past time, then we see at least in this past time, then Shiva's coming out, you know, as the son of Brahma. You know, it's just like Krishna is the origin of everything. Right? So there's no one senior superior to him. He is knowledge, he is rasa, he is everything. But his first expansion is who? As far as the relationship goes. His older brother. And then the older brother, his expansion is, you know, the kind of like the grandsire who's both of their teachers. So it's just fun to do that. So that's the thing. It appears it's going that, but it's actually in service. Does that make sense? Yeah. Kala or time is the cause of our ability to speak of states like simultaneous, quick and slow, past, present, and future. Moving like a wheel, measured in short moments, and the lifetime of Brahma, Parardha, time gives rise to creation and destruction of the universe. It is an unconscious substance. These four items are eternal. So it's coming from Krishna's eternal time, just like Prakriti is eternal. But here, on this side, it's unconscious. Right? Just like Prakriti is unconscious. Like that. So all the different states that are there, right? You have past, present, future, slow, quick, simultaneous, all these things. These are all the features of time. That's what time does. All right. Then the material nature is the modes of nature. Then those themselves are going to be goodness, passion, ignorance, how things are going to be affected, like that. So you mix that with time, and then you have effect. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. The Lord is the chief eternal and the chief conscious entity. Sweta Shvatara Upanishad 6.13. Gaur anadyantavati. Prakriti, resembling a cow, is without beginning and without end. Kulika Upanishad, 5th verse. Sad eva somyedam agra asit. The eternal Lord existed before everything else. Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.1. However, the jiva, Prakriti, and Kala are subservient to the Lord. He is the creator of the universe, the knower of the universe, his own source, the knower, the controller of time, the possessor of qualities, and the omniscient one. He is the master of Prakriti and the jivas, the lord of the gunas, and the cause of bondage, maintenance, and liberation from samsara. Sweta Svatara Upanishad 6.16. Karma is unconscious and also known as adrishta. It is without beginning and subject to destruction. Anadi vinashi.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes, there is. 14. Here karma refers to the ability of actions to create reactions in future lives. Baladeva also explains in his commentary on Gita that karma is like prag-abhava, prior non-existence. Something which is not yet existence has not existed for infinite time in the past. It has anadi, non-existence. But this state of non-existence comes to an end if and when the object in question makes its appearance. Thus, non-existence is an example of something that has no beginning but has an end. Karma is like that, having no beginning but having an end. Right? So it gives that... when it's starting this and that, but once it starts, then it manifests, so then it has an end. So the karma, it'll go and it'll manifest and then it will give the results. Right? Then it finishes.
Right.
Yes.
Are we talking about individual karma here?
You're talking about the principles. Like, we're not talking about individual jivas, we're just talking about... But when we're talking about the Lord, we're talking about an individual.
I'm asking if it's like an individual karma, not in the sense that it's somebody's karma, but like the karma of an individual because it has an end, but as a principle...
No, but as a principle, karma manifests and unmanifests.
Same as Prakriti?
Yes. Same as time.
But we're saying that along this five, this one is not eternal. Those four are eternal.
That no. It mentions...
It does.
You said?
Before
the four
are eternal, and in the Gita we also say the four are eternal
ones.
Yeah?
The karma is also considered not eternal.
Karma is not eternal.
Hmm?
Karma is not eternal.
Karma wouldn't be eternal either, because your karma will change. Your material will stop in the spiritual. Same way, material time will stop, and then you'll take up the spiritual. So he mentions there's eternal time here. But that means is that the principle of time is eternal, but its manifestation with the material world, then it has that temporary nature. Because if you have past, means it's gone. Present's now, future hasn't come yet.
Mm-hmm.
Past, you know, was there, but it ended. Future hasn't started, but it will then continue. Right? When you say future, there's a there's a beginning, but no end. Right? If we say past, there's no beginning, but there's an end. And present, it has neither end nor beginning. You know, it's just what's going on now. Lord. Okay, because these four, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala, and Karma, are the Shaktis of Brahman, there is agreement with the Advaita claim that there is one Brahman who possesses various Shaktis. These topics will be revealed in their appropriate places in the four chapters, also called Lakshana. Because Lakshana will mean the qualities of something. So he'll give more detail. So here he's just giving an essential point. Then he'll give... Because this is just a generic, but in the Vedanta Sutra, since you're trying to establish the proper position of the Lord, therefore, then what we're going to see is, how it's applied to other philosophies, right? How these five are applied to other philosophies and how they differ and everything like that. So that's where we'll see the detail. So, yeah.
Martha's statement, there is agreement with the Advaita claim that there's one Brahman who possesses various shaktis. The agreement is about there's one Brahman.
Yes.
And the possession of various shaktis, that's what the Vaishnavas explain it.
That's what we would do. But there may be some that accept it. That's what Rashi says. We'll give details later. So there's always a variety of everything. Okay. You know, whenever you have something, there's going to be a variety.
Mm-hmm. Mix.
Yes. Yeah, debating a little bit more this way, a little more that way. These topics are also called Bhagavatam, which explains the meaning of the sutras. Then, okay. In that mind which was undisturbed because it was pure from the performance of bhakti, Vyasa saw Krishna complete with all his energies and spiritual expansions, and also saw Maya who took shelter behind the Lord. Bewildered by that Maya, the Jiva, though separate from the three gunas, considered himself made of the three gunas, and takes on material existence created by the gunas. Vyasa saw that bhakti yoga to the Lord effectively destroys the jiva's samsara. Learned Vyasa then wrote the Bhagavatam for ignorant people, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.4-6, footnote 15. Jiva Goswami considers these verses along with the five that follow, 1.7.7-11, the essential heart of Srimad Bhagavatam. He dedicates one-third of the Tattva Sandarbha to their discussion, for they reveal the inner purpose of Vyasadeva's heart and contain all the pramayas of the Vaishnava philosophy. Okay. So, what's happening here is he's seeing Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. That was the difference. So this meditation is happening after he met Narad Muni. And Narad Muni pointed out the flaws in considering the Mahabharata as the conclusive final literature of the Vedic literatures. So then it was established that the Bhagavatam, the discussions about the Lord, that's the final. Then in his meditation, then he's seeing all this. So then the Bhagavatam is then expanding. So now what's that based on? That's based on the principle of the Chatur Shloki. Right? So then he's seeing in relationship to that. So basically what he's seeing here is the Chatur Shloki. By connection with the Lord, matter, karma, time, swabhava, and the totality of jivas can produce effects. Footnote 16. Swabhava means the ability of action to produce effects, the cause of change in the gunas and also impressions. Right, so you can apply it in all these decades. So swabhava means is that the action itself can produce, right? So that the action itself has a nature. That nature can produce something. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, the orange has a nature. It can produce orange juice or marmalade, right? You apply the process, you get that. Not that when you apply the process, you end up with, apple juice or pomegranate molasses. You understand? No, you end up with orange juice. That's its swabhava. Right? Right? The modes themselves, how they change and how they adjust, what they do, that's its swabhava. and the impressions that one gains from something that's called swabhava. Mm-hmm. You say someone has their nature is best based on impressions. So actually when we say the person, we mean in this case, or their nature, we mean their impressions. Change the impressions, change the nature. Right? You won't change Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or tall, short, fat, thin. That's not going to go away. What you're going to change is how they view things. So in that way you can say the swabhava changes. So this is the subtler form. Right? When we're dealing with the secondary aspects, when we look at it more from just the mechanics, that's not going to change. But the point is why do you use some particular mechanics? Why do you notice them? Because of impressions. Right? Senses see something, then due to impressions, we choose how to look at that. Whether to look at it or not, or how we'll look at it, based on our impressions. Then, having chosen that method from that, then we're going to analyze it, what we can do with it. Right? And then, according to our identity, then we're going to apply it and get results. Then we're going to use time. You understand?
How do we change our nature into karma, changing it through impressions?
The process is going on. The explanation is going on. Yes. Right? So, now then that will produce now another result, and that result will give an impression. Right? I cook something, I like it, it's an impression. I cook something, I don't like it, it's an impression. You ever seen how individuals, that's like, they don't like something. Like, they hate raw tomatoes. Why? There's an impression. You go back at some point, and there was some time when they came across a raw tomato, and it wasn't good. So now all raw tomatoes are bad. That's an impression. Right? Very hard to change. I remember this one devotee, he hated green papaya. He just didn't like it. And there's this other devotee, really, really clever. Really clever. Indian gentleman. I think he was a lawyer. But really friendly with this other devotee. They were really good friends. And so then, he would cook, the Indian gentleman. And this other devotee loved what he cooked. He was very excellent cook. Means his wife could cook, he could cook. He was really good. So a lot of times when he'd come over, he'd cook himself. So he knew about this green papaya thing. So one day, he took the green papaya, grated it, cooked it like cabbage. You know, because he loved his cabbage substance. So he cooked it like cabbage. Then he's sitting there, you know, eating the cabbage sandwich with chapatis and glorifying, oh, this is fabulous, this is great, nothing better than this and that. Oh, they're going on the whole meal. And the Indian gentleman is just, you know, yeah, smiling, encouraging, and he's eating so much. After the meal, he's talking, wow, that was great papaya. Then he revealed to him, no, it was actually green papaya. Then it was like, no, it can't be. No, it is. And he showed him, you know, this and that, and told him what he did. Then he didn't like the subject. Because it was green papaya. Even though he spent this whole time eating it for 10, 15 minutes, glorifying all this, like that. Then, no, I can't. No, it's like that.
So that was the misgiving.
Yes, that's the misgiving. But the whole point is there's an impression. Green papaya cannot be good. Why? Let us go back in history. I could probably come out with a hit like that. You probably heard that. Is when he first came to Mayapur, it wasn't very developed at all. You know, I think that kitchen was like a few bamboos with, you know, something like that. It was like really some, you know, fire under, you know, some bricks and, you know, big pots and that. So when he first came, he didn't know anything about cooking. And I must say, still doesn't know anything about cooking. But whatever, he didn't know anything about cooking. When he came, as soon as he came, because there were not that many devotees, the person, and then they put him in the kitchen because they needed help. And then, doing what they're doing in the kitchen, the person who was in the kitchen took the advantage. Now he's here, I'm going. Right? And so therefore, cooking meant you took the vegetables whole, put them in the pot, and boiled them, and put them on somebody's plate whole. Right? So that meant, green papaya meant, it's whole, with the skin and everything. You boil it, and then that's put on your plate. So most likely from that time, even though he was the one that cooked it, he got an impression that it can't be good. Because if you take papaya like that and boil it with nothing, it's definitely not going to be great. No?
I think so.
Yes. So, whatever. So that's impression. And that makes up the personality. Now you change the identity, I'm servant of Krishna. Then you change your decisions on what you choose. Right? Because the intelligence comes up with so many options. Right? It doesn't necessarily come up with one. It only comes up with one because it can't think of any more. But it tries to, right? Because the idea is the maximum options, you know, the better. Then you have so many options and you try to, you know, get them down. Sometimes the problem is there's so many you can't figure out what. So, you know, you talk with friends, you do this and that. Time goes by, you start to learn which ones are more important, right? Then you prioritize, right? Then you choose. But you'll prioritize everything according to your nature, right? Your impression. So you think I'm this. That's an impression. So I act like that. You change the impression that I'm the controller and enjoyer to I'm servant of Krishna. It changes how you deal. Yes. Yeah, but that impression was more intense than everything else.
Yeah, that's the point. So that's why, like, in our lives also, we can see devotees growing in a very good environment, having all the good impressions, and then somehow by the illusion of providence, they are exposed to some very bad impressions, and then really, like,
yes, but the point is but they're taking it because of their identity and their interest. The point is those bad environments, other people are in it, and then they're doing fine. You know what I'm saying? You're in a rough environment. Let's say, like, you know, Booker T. Washington, excuse me. But he's got hospitals named after him, universities, schools, high schools, and all that. So he's from a very difficult background, but he applied himself and became, you know, educated and respected in the world, right? At the same time, you have another guy from the same background and he turns out to be a criminal. So there's more impressions, but it's not that bad impression is what it's that there's impressions before, otherwise why does he take it, right? Point is that he's the it means every time someone sees a Shudra couple, you know, being intimate, then everybody turns into an Ajameel and goes out, marries a prostitute, and is having sons at 88 years old, right? No? So, you know what I'm saying? Like that. Someone was telling me the other day is that when they were going to university, then it was really weird because you have this whole, there's something going into the university, this whole kind of like, place where the sitting places and that, and then there's a covered area, and you have to walk through it. And everybody's there, you know, doing all kinds of nonsense. Right? And they're a devotee, and they got to walk through this every day. You know, or someone else was telling me they go and distribute books and collect money at raves. So, you know, what are they doing at raves? Right? They're all sitting there and chanting their japa or something, reading Bhagavatam. So they're seeing stuff worse than what Ajameel is saying. He only saw them like that, and they're fine. It's a disturbance, but they're okay. That's there, but the point is his impressions are there. Why did he take that? You're taking that end. What about the beginning? Because you identify that that's something of enjoyment that is good for you, therefore you accept that one. You could see something else. You know, the Shudra and the girl are there, but also the trees are there, and the birds are chirping, and the sun's out, and, you know, you have some place to go. You can, you know what I'm saying? So why is it that impression is the one that's stuck? Because that's based on previous. So, yeah. So, therefore, you change the identity, I'm servant of Krishna, therefore you change what you do. Right? Means, or at least how you look at it. Then the result of that will be according to this changed consciousness. So the impression that will be given is that of a devotee and seeing things in a devotional light. So now as that builds, the impressions are there how to use things in Krishna's service rather than how to use them for enjoyment. Right? Because our previous and impressions are that of control and enjoy. Therefore, then in the beginning of devotional service, there's problems. Because we'll see things in that light. But with time, having done devotional service and engaged things in Krishna's service, we start to see things in opportunity for service. So you've changed the impressions. Right? It doesn't mean that their knowledge and skills change. Or ability in knowledge and skill changes. What changes is their ability to understand what's real and to be engaged in what's real. You understand? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why we see is that somebody stays the same. As that's why Prabhupada mentioned, you don't have to change what you're doing. You know, you're a taxi driver, then you become a devotee, you can still be a taxi driver. Just now you see the opportunity how to serve Krishna. Does that make sense? But if you find, okay, driving a taxi starts to get annoying as a devotee, then you drive a bus. Or drive a garbage truck. You know something. Does that make sense? Yeah. The garbage doesn't do weird things in the back, right? So that's why it would be better. Right? That makes sense. Yeah. Huh?
Smells.
Yes. Yeah, it smells. That's the... Yeah, but still the people in the back seat. Right?
On
the nose, yeah, and all that. Okay, yeah, that's the, yeah, they can do that. That may be, you know, some say, you know, there's various reasons, but in the taxis, you know, they have that glass panel and all that. It's probably just the, for the smell, right? They don't want to tell people that because they'll get upset. But. Okay. By connection with the Lord, matter, karma, time, swabhava, and the totality of jivas can produce effects. Without His presence, they have no power to produce effects. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:10-12. Right? That's the whole point. Without Him, nothing works. So He's the independent one. Everything else is dependent. Right? Everyone else is servant. What? Is it Krishna? Kali Krishna, I don't know what it is. Ishwara?
Ekale,
Ishwara, Krishna, Ishwara, Krishna, Har Sabritya. Yeah. He's everybody else is a servant. Krishna is Ishwara, everyone else is a servant. So if this is caught, because all the material philosophies, they're not based on this. You know, they may accept Him as an Ishwara, but we're also an Ishwara. We may be a separate Ishwara, or we're the same Ishwara. We just remove the covering that we're separate, and then we become the Ishwara. So, this idea is that He's independent, we're not. The material energy is not. It's all His, so because He's real, it's real. Our perspective of it, or our impression of it, that may not be real. So that's what we're trying to do, change our impressions from unreal to real. You know, I've connected to the Lord from being disconnected. Then everything goes in connection with Krishna. Okay? 76. So that's why this swabhava is that, you know, it's like the gunas, the impressions, ability of action to produce effects is also swabhava. You have a particular, the modes are there, a particular form, it has particular modes, therefore that form can give a particular effect. It can't give something else. Saying that the knife can grate the vegetables, it's not going to happen. Or you can use the potato peeler to drink your soup. You know, maybe the potato peeler really wants to help in drinking soup. You know, it's all its life it's really wanted to. And why are you making such differentiation? You know, we're devotees, we chant, we're beyond the rules, we're transcendental. Does anything change? No, nothing. So on that platform, it's not going to change. But the consciousness and how you engage your own nature in the Lord's service, that's then what we're trying to get to. Doesn't make sense? Yeah?
Mark?
Yes?
In the other darshans, when you talk about Prakriti and Purusha, as Purusha is a living entity and so on, but don't catch the point that only Ishvara is independent. Is that correct?
Yes, they don't. But because the jiva has the quality of the Lord, and that they're a little independent, then they'll focus on that aspect.
Overemphasize.
Yeah, it's just like, let's say, can I go out, go out here and play? And the mother says, yes, you clean up your room, you finish your homework, you can go out and play. So which part does the kid remember? I can go out and play. So then the mother goes in the kitchen, this that, comes out, where's the kid? He's out playing. Says, you know, what happened? You said I could play. What about the other part? So that's it. So they just focus on that he has that element of Ishvara, but they don't understand that 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair Ishvara. So it doesn't matter what uniform or what mustache you put on that 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair, there's still only that big. It is stated in Smriti that Bhagavatam acts as the commentary on the sutras. Arto yam brahma sutranam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra from Garuda Puran. So it's not just Bhagavatam saying that or our commentators saying that. The Purana itself says that. Garuda says. Right? So this is then, the evidence of its position. So that's Sangati. Each one is supporting the other. Having concluded his introduction, right, so now that establishes, right, the Lord, the jivas, and Prakriti, time, and karma. So these are the subject matters that the different schools are going to discuss in their incompleteness. Yes?
Vedanta Sutra is Shruti. So can Shruti be Pramana on Shruti? It says about the commentary, though.
Yes.
So it goes.
In other words, Bhagavatam's on Vedanta Sutra, that's on Upanishads, which is Veda. Like that. Same time is because it's a direct, it's Bhagavatam is also coming from the Veda itself. When the Bhagavatam was spoken, the Veda was spoken, when Brahma lost the Vedas to the Madhu and Kaitava, then he asked the Lord to re-speak. So he was going to speak, he said, give the essence, right? Like that. So you got, in that case, you got the Pancharatra, and after speaking the whole Veda to him, he asked, what's the essence of this? So you got the Chakrashloki. Right? So then from there, based on, it's expanding from there. But it's this understanding, a realization of it. So in other words, the Chakrashloki is there. All the four Sampradayas use it. But what's unique about the Bhagavatam is actually an expression of Achintaveda-Veda Tattva. So that's coming from those four verses and the next four in the first canto, in 1:7. So, in other words, the Chakrashloki, according to that realization of Chintaveda-Veda Tattva in the first canto. So that's then how the Bhagavatam expands. So that it does go originally back to the Veda. So it's not that it's a direct commentary on Vedanta. It's a natural commentary because Vedanta is the essence of the Upanishads, and the Upanishads are the essence of the Veda. The Chakrashloki are the essence of the Veda, and the Bhagavatam is the expansion of those four shlokas. So those four shlokas are equivalent to the Upanishads. So therefore, you have a parallel: the four shlokas and the Upanishads. And then the commentary on the Upanishads is the Vedanta Sutra. The commentary on the four shlokas is the Bhagavatam. So therefore, they're technically the same thing. So it's the natural commentary. But because it's done not in Nyaya Prashtam, right? Like that, it's done. It's a Purana. Smriti Prashtam. Therefore, it's more understandable because of its broadness of its explanations, more exactness, its clarity. But is that we had just taken the in his introduction here, the Mangalacharan, just the first verse here. Okay. Like that. I offer respects to the worshipable form of Govinda, who is Brahman, identical with existence, knowledge, and bliss, who is praised by Shiva and others, and who is inconceivable without fault and is and the cause of all causes. Okay? So in there is that he's existence, knowledge. Knowledge means these five. Right? So therefore you could just do that one verse. But he's expanded this Mangalacharan to include so many verses so that we're exactly clear what it's about. This is then the explanation according to Achintaveda Veda Tattva. They always want to make it very exact and clear. Right? So scholarship is there. You may be using a scholarly method, but it has to come to the point where it gives practical example down where anybody can understand it. Does that make sense? So that's what they're doing. Then people understand it, but if with time people don't understand it, then that's what the tikkas are on those bhashyas. Right? So, yeah. Okay. Having concluded his introduction, Baladeva Vidyabhushan now embarks on a discussion of the sutras themselves. The first four sutras receive special attention. This is because in any Vedanta Sutra commentary, the explanation of the first four sutras, called Chatushrutri Tika, is considered the most crucial part of the commentary. Right? So all the acharyas, it's like that. Such explanations are usually lengthy, detailed, and indispensable. So also with commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. The explanation of the first few verses are by far the most extensive and involved. Right? Because even see, is in the first three verses of Bhagavatam, then the explanations are very long. They're some of the longest purports. Like that. And then the Chaturshloki also, very long purports. You know? Does that make sense? Because if you catch these essential points, you'll catch everything. So, in other words, the whole essence of the whole Vedanta Sutra is given in the first four. So the commentaries are very great on that. As you notice that when we're going through, many times, the study of the various books, at the beginning, then there's so much discussion, so much details and all that, and we're thinking, wow, this is going to take forever, we're never going to get through it. But because we've done that, then the rest of the work goes very quickly. Does that make sense? So that is just a standard thing. Because the modern is, no, you break it up in all these nice little bite-sized chunks and it just goes through like this. And you know, because it looks funny that, okay, let's say you have a three-month course and you spend the first 6 weeks on the first four verses. You know, they'll condense everything down there and bring other places up and, you know, try to make it all equal, because that's the modern thing. Everyone's equal. Right? How you say? All sutras are not equal. Right? So that's the whole point, is that they're there for the purpose of giving that. Then once that's there, then all the bulk of this left, then you can understand very easily. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say, cooking. How much time will be spent discussing, explaining a chant? You know? Or how you stir something. You know, or when you put things in, how it boils, how you do. So it'll take long, long time to do that. But now, once you've done that and you understand that fully, then someone can cook a very complicated preparation, and just watching them, you understand everything. Does that make sense? So because all the ingredients are explained nicely and clearly, their relationship, the sambandha gyan is very solid, then going on, then anything else you can see in relationship to that, Navideya and Prayojana are very, you are able to apply them. The point is, knowledge should be applied. That's why the Vaishnava Acharya spends so much time explaining it. Because for scholars, it's not necessarily about applying it. It's just about knowing it. You know? Does that make sense? You have a professor, and he's a professor of, you know, ancient Greek literature. So, where will that be applied? Because he can't say, this is the lifestyle, you should live like that. You know, he'll just point out the different things and get a discussion going. You know, was you know, who was the guy, you know, Elian and Odyssey, you know, if he was, you know, how his character and all. He can't say that just like this. He had that thing. He had that you know, determination, or he had that loyalty, or he had that determination. You should behave like that. He does that. He'll be called to the, you know, whoever's the head of the school's office. So you can't do that. So they only just speculate. But for the Vaishnavas, you want to apply it. Right? And therefore, then an application, that's then how it works. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. First Adhyaya, Pada 1. Overview of Adhikaranas. Okay, so then in this first Adhyaya, there's 10 Adhikaranas. Right? So these are the 10 logical syllogisms that will be given, right, going through all those five levels. Inquiry into Brahman, the origin of everything. Brahman is to be understood by the revelation of the scriptures. Wow, each one is just one sutra. So that's why they're like. This is confirmed by the Vedic scriptures, right? Isatato Brahma Jigyasa, Janmadhyasya Yataha, Shastra Yonitvat, Tattusmandaya.
Which one is the sutra?
In this one it is. There's more than 10 sutras, but it says the first ones, one sutra is the full Adhikarana. That's why they need so much to explain this. Brahman is to be understood by the revelation of the Vedic scriptures. This is confirmed by the Vedic scriptures. Brahman is knowable. Brahman is full of bliss. The nature of the person within. The word Akasha refers to Brahman. The word prana refers to Brahman. The word jyotish refers to Brahman. Right? So these are the points that are being established. Because otherwise, in all this, if you don't inquire into Brahman, why would you even want to know about spiritual? Right? And then Brahman as the origin of everything, how everything's coming from Brahman. Right? Then you're going to understand this Brahman, which is the source of everything, through Shastra. Right? And that is confirmed by the various Vedic literatures. Right? So Brahman is knowable means you can know Brahman. But, you know, there's a process. But you can know. Because otherwise you say, oh, it's always beyond. How can I know? And everything like that. Like that. Brahman is full of bliss. Because we're looking for knowledge and bliss. Right? That the nature of the person within, the jiva, because who is going to be looking for this Brahman? Who's going to be looking for this knowledge and bliss? Right? That's the person within. Right? So then Akash means that unlimited aspect. Like that, or that's Brahman. Then prana means life, the whole, that's also Brahman, that's coming from Brahman. And the jyotish means that enlightenment and all these things or whatever, that's also coming from Brahman. Right? Yes.
When it's saying, like the word Akash, is that referring to a specific mantra from the Upanishads?
Must be. Because, in other words, why bring it out unless the other schools are using that verse and interpreting it in a different way. So in other words, it's except for Jaimini, all other schools, they will pick and choose verses. They will not deal with all verses. Jaimini can have a commentary on every verse. Whether he does or not is another thing, but he could commentate. Yes. But the other schools, they can, for their philosophy, they can only choose selected verses that actually support. Right? And then, but he's naturally going to play down those things that are going to be talking about things outside of the goals that he has. And in Shankara's, commentary on Vedanta, then he's going to also just pick and choose the ones that are easy. Because his purpose is to bewilder. Right? They're already atheists, so he's just bewildering them so that they accept the revelation of the scriptures. Because they're already inquiring, inquiring into nothingness, so now that nothingness becomes Brahman. And instead of their own scriptures, then Veda scriptures. So basically he's taking Buddhists and they're giving their basis of authority becomes the Vedas. Does that make sense? So because of that, they accept the religious aspects of it also, so therefore they practice the form of the Veda. But their philosophy is still the same. Does that make sense? So he's maintained the Buddhist philosophy, but he's bought in the Vedic authority and Vedic religion. Does that make sense? Yeah. So now they use two hands to, you know, salute instead of one, like that. You know what I'm saying? Because as it is, the sound of one hand clapping is already a problem, let alone the sound of two hands clapping. Right? So you want to avoid that.
So, Kumar, the explanation you gave about only Jarini and Vyasadeva, could you?
Yes.
That would imply that the word Mimamsa means a full explanation of the Veda?
Well, yes, because that category within the, how do you call it? What is it called? Veda, Upaveda, Upangas. The Upanga. What is it? Upangas?
Vedanga?
Vedanta, Vedanga, and Upanga. Yes, is Mimamsa. Because that's all the schools and all that fit into it. Because in your Vedanta, all of them are applied, but the conclusions of them may be different. So all of them are there. But for us, we'll just, Paravidya means Bhagavatam, Vedanta Sutra, Gita, like that. So we will deal with the other schools. So Mimamsa is there, but that Mimamsa is defined by Jaimini. So then that definition of Mimamsa, that's accepted by all schools. Just like the process of logic is accepted by all schools. You know, the process of Shankhya is accepted by all schools. The yoga is accepted. Nobody has a different. It's the, what's the conclusion and how important and how you're going to go about it. That will change from school to school. So that's the point. It's all based on Veda, so they all have that aspect of a correctness. But the problem is they don't have completeness. So only Vaishnava Vedanta has completeness. And then within Vaishnava Vedanta, though it's complete, right? The most complete is Achintaveda Veda Tattva. Because it can actually deal with all of the other Vaishnavas. It can deal with all the... So it itself can deal with all schools. So that's considered the best. 50%? Okay. Unless otherwise noted, the text from the study guide and the Sanskrit readings for each Adhikarana are drawn from Baladeva Vidyabhushan's Govinda Bhashya. However, these first four sutras will also feature explanations by Srila Jiva Goswami. So that was, it's so important, he's given commentaries on this. So his meaning, all throughout, anything that's being given, that will always be Baladeva. So I guess it means he won't mention it. But in these first four, then he'll most likely be mentioning what's Jiva Goswami and what's Baladeva. Yes. Because they're so important. So therefore, then they're so... Is that okay? And here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanand.